Drupal Voices is a series of interviews with people contributing to the Drupal community. Brought to you by the 2011 Do It With Drupal Conference. This year's event takes place October 12th, 13th, and 14th in Brooklyn, New York. Come get practical advice and learn the site-building strategies of Drupal's top developers and hear from experts in emerging technologies such as IPTV and mobile app development. For more information and registration rates, visit doitwithdrupal.com.
I'm Bill Fitzgerald, and I work at Funny Monkey. We're a web development shop based in Portland, Oregon, and we work primarily with education nonprofits. And I'm going to talk a little bit about one aspect of the work we do, which is building distribution profiles or install profiles. And we recently got some funding through the Knight Foundation, through the Knight Drupal Initiative, and we built a platform called VoiceBox. And the goal of VoiceBox is to simplify the process of really any kind of community to build a web presence, to communicate with their stakeholders, and collect up information about their area of interest. So the functionality we have in VoiceBox that simplifies that is it's a stripped-down aggregation tool, so the organization can grab RSS feeds from other like-minded organizations and collect up that content in one place. There's also a kind of a site blog feature or a discussion area that they can use, and these posts and their imported posts can actually be put out as periodic magazine issues. The other piece we did to support this after the grant funding ended was to actually build out an automated install script on Linode that will basically provision your server, tune your server, and then grab a copy of VoiceBox and run you through the install process. So the entire process of provisioning your server hardware and getting the site installed is about 15 to 20 minutes.
Nice. And so what was the problem that you were trying to solve that you originally thought that this needed or required a whole install profile? What was sort of the itch that you were trying to scratch?
We basically were trying to solve a few things, really just kind of eliminate a few barriers that stop people from really making the most of a Drupal site. Some of the things that we tried to, that we did solve with this were just getting a text editor set up with input formats in a way that's secure. So basically full HTML, you have your full-on, you know, WYSIWYG editor installed using the WYSIWYG API, but you're not giving full HTML, for example, or any PHP input functionality to non-admins. Also, media handling is something that can be difficult to configure in Drupal in a sane way. So as part of the install profile, and actually really using features, we have a pretty nice set of media handling tools available that just work after install. There's some pieces of the theming layer that we also automated. We actually built a theme up from scratch called Hexagon, and using that in combination with context and context layouts, you can have a lot of flexibility with how you lay out your site without touching a line of theming code. And it's fully integrated with the color module, so you can change your color palette all via the UI without needing to touch a line of CSS. If you actually do want to touch the CSS on the backside of the theme, we set it up so sub-themes are an issue we address within Hexagon, but all the CSS is broken out into pretty modular components there as well. It's a sane and maintainable way to build out your theme should you actually want to go deeper into it.
So what is the user story or the use case for aggregating the data? How is that going to be used for someone if they're going to sort of, what are they pulling in and then what would they be doing with it then?
A specific example of actually the first site that we actually launched on this. We were supporting basically a community of students, high school teachers, and college professors after the Gulf oil spill. And we worked with them to bring a site live called, it's at voicesonthegulf.org. And on this site, the site aggregates environmental and spill-related news. So it's actually a pretty good source of information of, you know, coming from a different number of sources about the environmental impacts of the spill, the financial impacts of the spill, quality of life issues related to the spill. So somebody can actually go to the site and just learn more about the current state of affairs. But alongside this aggregated news are discussions from, one teacher actually is doing work with her. She has a class of gifted first through sixth graders. So, I mean, there's, you know, again, some elementary school writing alongside this news. There's a college professor who's bringing in some of his students to do writing work on the site. And you have a variety of people who are living in the Gulf writing about and describing what they're experiencing from really the early days of the spill through the cleanup and through the recovery efforts that are ongoing now alongside this news. So you have these two contrasting dialogues occurring, one, the current events feed, and second, kind of the more personal discussions taking place among community members who are actually in that area. And they're actually connecting with students from all over the states. Like, there's a few schools in New York City who are also commenting on, commenting and adding posting to that site about their views. So there's actually some cross, exchange of ideas across regions that are, the site supports.
And are those being aggregated as well, those personal stories, or are they being sort of generated and created right there on the website?
Both. Actually, there are some student blogs that are being aggregated in, and there's some discussion that goes on the site. And because using what VoiceBox gives you out of the box, you can, automatically tag these incoming posts into a specific channel or region so you know exactly what's coming from where. So it gives you the tools to kind of both manage your various sources of information, organize your source of information, and then kind of present it out to people in different ways.
And so talk about the speed at which you're able to sort of deploy and launch this site, and then also what it requires for a site like this to remain successful over time.
Yeah, I mean, if you actually want to launch a VoiceBox site, I mean, that process literally takes about 15 to 20 minutes using the automated install. The install profile is quick, and it actually does work out of the box. Customizing it can take as short or as long as you want. I mean, we've brought sites live. The Voice on the Gulf site, for example, we brought live in about an hour to an hour and a half once we had the server set. And that was actually a little bit longer than what it would take ordinarily because that was literally the first one we got out the door.
And then, so what does it require for something like this to be successful?
Well, yeah, and one of the pieces that's actually often overlooked a lot in talking about the technical aspects of bringing a site like this live is you can have a site that works, you can have a site that is really feature-rich, but the thing that makes really any community site go live is how people within the community manage the community. One of the things that's made Voices on the Gulf an amazing place really kind of to be and for students to start, talking to one another is the community management that's gone on there. One of the main people who's running that is a guy named Paul Allison, and he's a teacher in New York City and actually in the Bronx. And he's been managing student communities for probably over a decade at this point. And he stepped in and he provided some structure to that. But then there's also woman Margaret Simon, who's running the K-6 gifted program. She's kind of managing her students. Professor David Pulling, who's, I believe, at LSU. Again, and they're all playing key roles in managing and supporting people as they're coming into the site. And it's that level of, you need to create a platform that actually works and that lets people just think about what they're doing. And that's what VoiceBox does. Like, it takes a sting out of building the site so you don't need to think about the technical elements. But then once you actually have a place where people can just come in and work, you need other people who can come in and actually help give shape to the community and give some initial validation to the people who are coming in and, yeah, taking a chance and talking about things that they might not ordinarily talk about. And it's that blend of, having a site that actually just works and just does what people need it to do in combination with community managers who can really encourage people to take some emotional risk. And it's that human element that I think often gets overlooked in a technical implementation, but is often what determines how successful or unsuccessful a site will be is, after it launches in the 6 to 12 months after it's actually out.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a bit of a hybrid, both virtual presence but also physical face-to-face presence that's happening in these communities. And I think that's probably a key element of having like a physical point person or someone to help coordinate. Or maybe you could talk about like how that balance sort of plays out in this particular case.
Yeah, no, that's the whole blend of having an online, basically an online discussion forum, an online discussion area in combination with or alongside face-to-face meetings is a key piece to actually making this work. What's interesting about this is, there are different face-to-face communities that are moving portions of these conversations online. And what I don't think has happened yet is I don't think there's actually been any face-to-face meetings across the geographic communities. But you have, I think, enough critical mass within the face-to-face communities moving online that you have conversations sparking up and people, I think, feel it's that kind of blend of the familiar and the unfamiliar. I mean, it's unfamiliar because it's a new space, but it's familiar because it's a subset of people that they know from their actual, real in the flesh life. So when you can bridge that and have that balance work out against a backdrop of a kind of well-managed site with you know, kind of competent, knowledgeable community managers, you can, yeah, have some really amazing conversations start to take place.
And is Twitter somehow integrated with this? Because I know that a lot of people use this microblogging site with also, you know, hashtags and stuff to be able to also have, you know, distributed conversations about stuff. And I'm just wondering if this website is a way to kind of aggregate some of that more ephemeral communication that may be happening in other channels.
This specific site does not use Twitter, largely because the tenor of these conversations is a little bit more thoughtful than what you usually have on Twitter. And the focus of this is as a resource that will kind of play out steadily over time, as opposed to Twitter-based conversations, which, you know, as you said, tend to be more ephemeral, a little bit shorter, and often event-based. This is kind of a more process-based site, a more experience-driven site. So integrating Twitter comments didn't make a lot of sense as an input. As an output, people have the ability to kind of, there's a share link and they can kind of push stuff out actually to Twitter or email it out. And that's something that actually is just supported by VoiceBox out of the box. So you can actually push content out of the site to Twitter or to these external channels. But for this specific site, Twitter didn't seem to fit the needs of the conversations that they wanted to have.
And what's next for this VoiceBox project and installation and distribution?
We're building a few different things off it. I mean, as we built it out, we actually took a lot of time to make sure that the features we based it on were compartmentalized and reusable. So you're actually able to use the features within VoiceBox as building blocks for almost any kind of social site. I mean, we have user profiles broken out. We have group discussions broken out. We have the aggregation features broken out. So these can be used and reused between sites. So we're actually using it as the base of a lot of development that we do. We're actually in the process of building a site that will aggregate a lot of conversations are going to be happening around a national initiative to kind of define what people mean by learning. That's actually called the Great American Teach-In, and it's going to be announced at South by Southwest on March 15th, and the event is going to be on May 10th. And we're actually modifying VoiceBox, and I'm actually going to be writing up a case study that describes the actual steps we need to do to modify it. So we're using it kind of for two things. I mean, first is actually a standalone product that you can actually just kind of launch and run with and be there. But we're also actually using it as a platform, or, you know, kind of a slightly elevated starting point upon which we can, you know, build additional functionality.
And finally, what are sort of the plans for this distribution and Drupal 7?
We are psyched to bring this to Drupal 7 because a lot of the pain points that we had in the installation profile in Drupal 6 have either been mitigated or eliminated in Drupal 7. Machine names are pretty well supported in core in Drupal 7 for things like input filter IDs, roles. So all of the, you know, kind of single increment numbers that really created enormous security holes if you actually tried to count on them for an installation profile in 6, that's not an issue in 7. You can actually specify that, you know, your admin role is your admin role and identify it with a machine name instead of hoping that your admin role has your role ID of 3. And, you know, we no longer need to roll the dice like that. And we got around that in VoiceBox by just actually taking care of all of that in the base installation profile. So we can make assumptions about that. But, yeah, there are a lot of things about 7 that will make installation profiles a whole lot easier to work with. And I can definitely say on behalf of everybody within Funny Monkey, just thank you so much to the core team for getting these changes in. You know, all the people who did that work, just you have made installation profiles a lot stronger for the entire lifespan of 7, and we look forward to working in this space throughout the 7 and actually pushing into 8.
Okay, well, great. Thanks.
Hey, thank you.